Again, we join the American family Robinson in Centerville. And those of you who haven't yet heard about the Robinson's Big Road to Recovery contest, listen closely. Luke and Mrs. Robinson invite you to submit letters of not more than 250 words on the subject, What Will Speed Recovery? Your letter has 207 chances to win a cash prize. The first prize is $100, the second, $25, and besides these, there are five prizes of $5 each, 50 prizes of $2 each, and 150 prizes of $1 each. All you have to do is to send in a letter containing your opinion of what is needed to restore prosperity, based upon your observation of conditions today, and the solution you think best fits your own problems. Everybody's doing it, so get your letter in now. If you want it, Luke will send you a pamphlet containing information which may help you in competing for the prizes. Address all correspondence to the American Family Robinson, care of the station to which you are listening. Remember, you don't have to be an expert on national affairs in order to win a prize. The simplest and shortest letters may be the best ones in the opinion of the judges, whose decision is final. Do you think the business is being hampered by too many restrictions, or the taxes are too high, or that confidence in business must be restored? Whatever you think on this all-important subject of what will speed recovery, write Editor Luke and tell him about it. You have a chance to win a prize. Today we find Luke and Mrs. Robinson reading a stack of contest letters, their favorite indoor sport.
Here's one from a housewife, and it's very good. I'll certainly put that one aside.
You know, it's a funny thing. It's so hard to distinguish between the letters from women and from men. I started playing a little game, trying to guess whether the letter was from man or woman without looking at the signature. And, you know, lots of times I thought it was a man's letter and turned out to be a woman's.
I suppose by that you mean that when you came to an especially good one, you just took it for granted a man wrote it.
No. I had no idea. Or if I did, I certainly wouldn't have been foolish enough to tell you so. I just expect women to go in more for emotion than logic.
Oh, you do? Well, let me tell you, Luke Robinson, I wouldn't give a snap of my fingers for some men's logic. Women are just as capable of being rational as men.
I see I shouldn't have brought the matter up at all. Yes, my dear, women are swell. They're fine. They're logical as anything.
Oh, don't slide out of it that easily. Now, just listen to this housewife's letter, and you'll see how logical they are.
All right.
Everyone realizes that women are the greatest buyers of goods. If they buy freely, recovery will be here. They will not feel safe in doing so if their men folks' earning power is restricted by such laws as the 30-hour week, or if professional agitators create trouble between them and their employers. I know, too, that I cannot feel secure if my husband's firm's profits are going to be limited arbitrarily by law, because our earnings increase or decrease with those of the firm. In other words, as long as my husband's earnings capacity is not interfered with by socialistic influences, I am willing to invest in our future. So my answer to what will speed recovery is more security for husbands. There. And if that isn't logic, Luke Robinson, I'd like to know what is.
You're absolutely right, Myra, and my hat is off to the lady. But you haven't got me completely floored yet. Now, here's one from a woman. I'm sure it's a woman. No man would use that lavender stationery. Pure emotion, as far as I'm discovering, and sob stuff at that. Well, I won't read it all, but listen to the last paragraph. It says, "And so, with all the money that is stored in our beautiful treasury building, we could all make a new start. The government could divide it up. A home, a car, a radio, a swimming pool for everybody. Little children going to free movies, and big grown-up children singing happily all the day." Oh.
Well, what's the matter?
Well, the signature. I hadn't noticed it. It's signed John Smith.
Well, I knew no woman in her right mind would have written any such impractical nonsense.
Well, now that's funny. The address is just general delivery, and it comes from right here in Centerville. John Smith, general delivery. I wonder now...
Let me see that letter, Luke. Yes, sir. It's just like that box that Cousin Agatha gave me. I stuck it away in a drawer so I could use it when I wrote to her. Goodness knows I wouldn't use lavender notepaper for any other correspondence. Luke... You don't suppose that...
I don't have to suppose. I'm practically certain it's Windy Bill. Nobody else would have the idea that recovery depends on bankrupting the country. And it's in his very best style, too.
Well, I shall certainly speak to him about this, the idea.
Oh, it's no use. He'd only deny it. There are other ways of making sure. He's bound to give himself away. Why you insist on keeping the man hanging around, even though he is your brother, when he's a continual source of annoyance to all of us, and that job I got for him, that's another thing. He promised me faithfully he'd go to see Dave Markham about driving a lumber wagon. And has he done it? No, of course.
What's this? Why, hello, hello, folks.
Why, Bill, I didn't hear you come in.
Say, do you have to go creeping around like that, Windy, and sneaking up on people?
Sneaking? Why, nothing of the sort. Why, that's just my panther tread. Learned it in the jungle. Had to. Why, out there, a person's very life may be endangered by the snapping of a twig. Yes, sir, there was once when
Oh, let it go, let it go. I've read Kipling, too. But what I want to know is, did you get that job?
Job? Job? Oh, you're referring to my interview with Mr. Markham. Satisfactory. Very satisfactory. Fine fellow, Mr. Markham.
How satisfactory? Exactly.
At this point in our negotiations, Mr. Markham and I feel that we should keep our business affairs confidential. But in a few days, I'll make a statement, and I'll give it to the Herald, too, just to show I don't harbor a grudge.
Well, that's big of you.
That's more like it. Now, no more business. Well, what have we here? Contest letters?
Contest letters. But they wouldn't interest you, would they?
Why, of course. Fine idea, this contest. Like to look at some of the entries myself. Have a cigar, Luke.
What?
Sure, have a cigar. If you don't want it now, why, smoke it later.
You're giving me a cigar? Well, and if I'm any judge, it's a 50-center.
Yes, I splurged a little on those cigars. Expect to come into a little money shortly. Thought I'd celebrate.
I see.
Yes, sir, that's quite a batch of letters. Any especially good ones?
Well, there's one that's especially interesting.
So, like to look at it. Which one?
The lavender one. We'd like to have your opinion of it.
Lavender? Oh, yes, here it is. Well, let's see. Dear so-and-so, recovery's great hope, utopian ideals, $5,000 a year for all. Say, this is pretty good. Widows and orphans, higher duty, millennium approaches. Very well expressed, that. Little children, growing up, singing all the day. Why, it's tremendous. Why, that document is an epic. And if you ask me, I think this man, John Smith, deserves first prize.
Mm-hmm. Well, I thought you would. Well, I've just about decided that I agree with you.
Oh, but Luke...
It's all right, Myra. I know what I'm doing.
Why, that's fine, Luke. That's great. Here, have another cigar.
Why, thanks, Windy. But, you know, I don't believe that John Smith is the writer's real name.
You don't?
No.
But why not? Lots of Smiths, you know.
Yeah, there's one too many. But I think I do know who wrote it.
No. Who?
Yeah, I think it's Freckles, my copy boy. In fact, I'm sure of it. Just the sort of a thing a 12-year-old boy'd write. And I'm glad it's Freckles. He can use that $100.
No, wait a minute, Luke. You can't be sure. You don't want to make any mistake.
Oh, not a chance of making a mistake. I'm so sure that I think I'll just hand him the money at the office instead of bothering to send it down to the post office.
Oh, no, Luke, you can't do that.
Well, why not?
Why, it's not fair. You might be wrong. Why, the boy might take it.
Why, of course he'd take it. That's what I expect him to do.
Now, listen, Luke, you're making a terrible mistake. I know it. I know who wrote that letter, and it wasn't Freckles.
Well, now we're getting somewhere. Who was it?
Well, it was a friend of mine, and... He doesn't want to become known. That's it. Queer duck. He dislikes publicity. Now, I'll tell you what. You give me the $100 and I'll see that it gets to him.
Oh, no, you don't. I wouldn't trust you with that $100 any more than I would a bird with a snake. Now, I'll keep your friend's name a secret, but unless he makes himself known to me, he doesn't get the prize.
Well, as a matter of fact, Luke, you make it rather difficult for me. My native modesty has forbade my speaking sooner, but the truth of the matter is, I wrote that little masterpiece myself.
Good. That's just what I wanted to know. And after I treat your little masterpiece as it deserves, like this, and this, and this... I'll take great pleasure in telling you just what I think of it and you. And then maybe you'll realize that a member of my family However willingly or unwillingly I may be to admit you to that relationship, has no business getting into this contest.
Oh, Luke, you'd better let me handle this. You're losing your temper.
Losing it? I've lost it. The day this...
Luke.
Oh, all right, you handle it, but don't spare the adjectives.
Now, Bill Winkle, you sit right down there and listen to me.
Lady of modesty, little masterpiece, all the beautiful money, our lovely treasure.
No, Dickie, of course you don't have to learn it by heart. You just repeat it after the minister.
Say, do you mind if I come in?
Well,
I'm seeking sanctuary.
Of course not, Daddy. Come on in. What are you hiding from?
Oh, I'm not hiding. I'm running away from Windy to save his life.
Say, I'm glad you came in, Mr. Robinson. Maybe you can help me out. Do I hold her left hand or her right hand?
Well, now, Dick, that depends on what you're doing. If you're being introduced, it's the right hand. If you're marrying her, it's the left.
Oh, it's no use telling him, Daddy. He's been practicing all evening and he hasn't got a right yet. Come on, let's open some of these presents. I'm tired of playing weddings.
Playing? Playing, she calls it. And I don't even know when to say I do or I will.
Oh, forget it. Cut the string.
All right. Say, this is a heavy one.
Yeah.
Silver platter, probably, huh?
No, I don't think so. Oh, there you are. Oh, bookends. Bronze. Aren't they lovely?
Yeah, they're very nice.
All my worldly goods.
Here, Daddy, you tackle this one.
All right.
You take that one, I'll take it.
All right.
Let's see. The bookends are from Aunt Ida. Good heavens, I believe I forgot to put her name on the list.
Here you are. And it's...
More bookends. Well, that is a coincidence.
In sickness or in health, as long as you
both... Well, here, let's try this one.
All right.
You know, this is really like a super Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah.
What do you guess it is, Daddy?
Well, offhand, I should say, bookend.
Oh, no, it couldn't be. Not again. It is. Three sets of bookends.
Well... I hope somebody has presence of mind enough to give
my
you a book.
Richard, take thee, Betty.
Oh, Dick, what are we going to do?
Huh? What?
Dick, if you keep on staring off into space and muttering in that awful way, you'll be a blithering idiot before you ever get to the altar.
That's just what I've been trying to tell you, Betty. Now, if you'd only please elope with me, you could save my reason.
Well, I would elope with you, Dick. I'd love to. But 300 people have been invited to see a wedding, and they've got to see one. Now, that's all there is to it.
But, Betty, they don't have to see ours, do they?
What?
Won't any wedding do? We could get somebody else to put on a wedding for them. There are lots of people getting married. It's going on all the time.
Now, that's a novel idea. You could put a sign out in front of the church saying, Miss Blank and Mr. Dash substituting for Robinson and Collins. Performance to go on as scheduled.
Oh, don't be silly. You couldn't get people to do a thing like that.
But maybe if I made it worth their while, I could...
Well, if it's money you refer to, you better talk to Windy Bill. He'll do anything for cash.
Say, I'll ask him right away.
Oh, but it takes two. Who's he going to marry?
Oh, I don't know. Yes, I do. Miss Timmons. A perfect combination. A windbag and a pessimist.
Well, a novel idea indeed. Windy needs a wife to take care of him after the calling down he got for horning into our contest. And by the way, have you written your letter yet? Remember, you have 207 chances to win a cash prize simply by writing a letter of 250 words or less on the subject of what will speed recovery. The first prize is $100. The second, $25. There are five prizes of $5 each, 50 prizes of $2 each, and 150 prizes of $1 each. And in order to help you in writing your letter, Luke will send you a pamphlet called The Road to Recovery. Address all correspondence to the American Family Robinson, care of the station to which you are listening. And here's Luke to report on the progress the contest is making.
It's mighty fine progress, and I'm proud of the showing our contestants have made. You've heard from people in every walk of life, and the letters show that people are not ready yet to follow every crackbrain who has a theory. And that now that Windy Bill's effusion has been thrown out, there are a fine bunch of letters, and we want more of them. Thank you.
Thank you, Editor Luke. And if you haven't got your letter in yet, sit down right away and put in your bid for a prize. And so, until our next program, goodbye.